Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope. Today, a message from our senior pastor, John Tilton. Did you know that there are over 8 billion people on planet Earth? If we're honest, being one out of billions can make us feel really insignificant. But in God's eyes, we are not insignificant. You are not insignificant. In fact, God knows your name. Let's join Pastor John right now with a message entitled, He Knows My Name.
What does GOAT stand for? Anyone? Greatest of all time. It's really, really prevailing now and known. Someone that does well in a sport or does well in something, you go, oh, he's a GOAT. Greatest of all time, right? Okay, so let's talk about some of the GOATs of today. Basketball. Give me a name of a GOAT. Michael Jordan. Take a look at him. That's Michael Jordan. Okay, who's another GOAT? Kobe Bryant. Take a look. Oh, yeah. And then there's, of course, Stephen Curry. How many Warriors fans? Woo! Okay, none. Anyway, okay. Okay, number two, baseball. Baseball. Who's a GOAT? Greatest of all time? Babe Ruth. There he is. Remember Babe Ruth? Okay. How about Hank Aaron, football, all the home runs that he hit? Now, here's an important one. Pastorally, spiritually, who is a GOAT? Billy Graham, right? Now, let's take it currently. Who is another pastoral GOAT? Dr. Wayne Cordero. Give him a hand. You see, today, in the next point, I want to talk about something important. Remember, say labels. Labels. Labels are so important. We're going to talk about that, but first, I want you to fill in your blank there. What enamors you can define you. What enamors you can define you. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You know what enamor means? You know what enamor means? Enamor means to be fascinated with, to be interested in, to be in awe of, to desire, even to love something. Oh, when I met her, I just enamored her beauty, right? Enamor is a fascination. And you know what happens today? One of the things that we're very, very enamored with is the internet and social media, right? The internet and so on. Let me ask this. Okay. How many of you at some time or another in your life has been on the internet? Raise your hands. Anybody not raising your hands? You are old. No. Okay. How many of you out there has either at one time in your life been on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok? Raise your hands. Everybody. Right. Here it is. Social media and internet have been prevailing, but listen very carefully. You know what the caution is? It can consume you, because in this world, in the whole new world that we're talking about, you know what's happening? All of these factors that may not be of the Lord is vying for your mind, it's vying for your heart, it's vying for your character. And you know what the main concern is? Sometimes we don't even recognize it. We don't even realize it. And we start doing things and changing. And it's like, ooh, what happened to you? And we don't even know, because it is so innocent. And that is how the devil works. The devil works very deceitfully to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. Luke 8:17 says, for nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. That God will reveal when we are being influenced. God will reveal when we are going in the wrong direction, when we are not aligning ourselves with the identity that God has called us to be. I want to tell you about my grandson. You guys want, okay, I love to talk about my grandchildren. Why? Because they are in their formative years, and I just see what's going, I love what's going on in their life. Okay, so his name is Justice, okay? Now, just a few years ago, Justice discovered video games. Oh my God, online. How many parents out there have children that play video games? Raise your hands. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God help you, God help you. Now, Justice went from playing 1 hour a day to 2 hours to 3 hours. He got up to the point that he was playing 6 to 8 hours a day of video games. And initially, he started playing locally with friends. And then he moved to national, like, you know, competing with people nationally online. And I remember thinking, wow. And so I said, who'd you play with? Oh, some people nationally. And he actually won one. One, it was like 100 people nationally. He won. And now many of you think, oh, Grandpa would say, congratulations, Justice. Wrong. You know why? Here's why. He was so enamored with video games. He spent so much time with video games that his schoolwork started to decline. That he started to cop an attitude. And you don't do that with a 6'4" Samoan father. Wap! They call it satsa. Okay? And his first love of basketball started to wane. Thank God that his mom and dad went completely surgically removed it. You're done. No more video games. But here it is. They restored it. They restored the video game. But you know when? After he was able to put first things first and to prioritize and to get his schoolwork done and to get everything that he was supposed to be doing in training, even his devotions, then he might be able to get 1 hour of video games. And it worked. It worked. Because that was 3 years ago. For the past year and a half, okay, past like 3 semesters, he has a 4.0 GPA at Kamehameha Schools. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Now, I'm not boasting. I'm just saying going from sliding to 4.0. We just saw the latest report card. And then this past fall, he got to be the captain of the Kamehameha School basketball team in his age group. Why? Because he was enamored with the things that he should be enamored with. And finally, the most important, Justice for a few years now has done his devotions every single day. He doesn't miss a day. Even if he's tired, he does his devotions. And I think, wow, he is enamored with all the right things, and look what God is doing in him. And that is the identity that God has called this young boy to. Amen? Thank the Lord for the Lord and what he does in people's lives. But we're going to talk about B, labels. This is so important, labels. I want you to fill in B. What you believe will dictate what you do. What you believe will dictate what you do. Because you see, what you believe is when everything starts to influence you in terms of the decisions you make, because it's labels that people have given you or labels that you have received that you start to believe in your mind and your heart. And sometimes it starts when you're young. And we can believe these labels when we're young or even older. You're dumb. You're stupid. You're ugly. You're fat. Hey, how did you gain so much weight? Or, you know, you look at your failures. Look at all your failures. Look, you know why your wife, you know why your husband left you? Because of this. And you start labeling. And other people who are sick, you know, you've been sick all your life. You don't take care of your health. And they start labeling you. And you start believing that. And when you start believing that, you go down the tube because you're giving in to the devil and what he's trying to influence you and change your identity of who you are in Christ and the power you have in Christ. Amen? Amen. Yes. The names you allow to label and identify you will determine who you believe you are and what you do. I want to tell you a story about a young boy in the 1960s. A young boy, anybody live in the 1960s? Raise your hand. Okay, some of us. A young boy in the 1960s came from a big family, youngest in the family, older brothers and sisters moved out, went on their way. Father was working every day like all fathers do. So it was just him and his mother. And his mother was a great, simple mother, cooked for him, loved him, cared for him. But in those days, some mothers did not prepare their children, like this case, for school. This mother never taught this young boy the ABCs. Never taught him to count. Just cared for him, and it was just the two of them. Well, the boy went into kindergarten and went into first grade. And because schoolwork was so foreign to him, he didn't know what was going on. It was just like, oh, what is this? And the teacher called him slow. She said, "You are a slow learner." And when she would call on students and he would raise his hand, he wouldn't have the answer if she called on him. So the other students started calling him dumb and stupid. And that child, at that young age, hated school. And he hated himself. He said, "Why did God make me so stupid and dumb?" And it wasn't until he got into the second grade that a teacher came alongside him and encouraged him and said, "You're going to be okay. You're not dumb. You're not stupid. Let me come beside you. Let me give you what to believe in, that there is hope. I'm going to come alongside you." And because that teacher came alongside him and helped him and gave him, here it is, hope, that boy went on from the second grade. Instead of going into third grade, he went into a combined fourth grade class with accelerated students from second grade that went into that fourth grade class. He kind of skipped a year. That boy went on, did well in elementary school. That boy went on, did well in high school. That boy, because of the encouragement and hope, went on to obtain two bachelor's degrees and a master's degree. That boy is me. That boy is me. When I was young, I thought I was a dumb, I'm going to be cliche, I thought, "Oh, you're such a dumb Hawaiian." Because that's what people said. "Oh, you Hawaiian, you're all dumb. You Hawaiian's a woman out." That's what I held on to. And I should have been saying, "No, I'm half Chinese." "No, I'm not going to believe that. I'm half Chinese." But that's what we do. Come on, I'm just saying, that's what many of us are told. That's what we're told. And that's my story. Thank God someone helped me take the labels off of my shoulders and what was in my heart. Because even today, there are times, I'm going to be honest and very transparent, there's times in my life that although God's enabled me to be very successful in a lot of things, some things will happen, I'll think in the mind, it'll just come to my mind, "Oh, are you still dumb or stupid?" No, I got to bind it in the name of Jesus. I have to bind it. You see, the devil will always tell you lies. That you're a failure. You're a sinner. You're no good. You can't change. That's who you are, your future, your destiny. Wrong. That's not true. Like Joseph, we have to reframe things. And I'm going to talk about Joseph, not Joseph, the husband of Mary, but Joseph, the son of Jacob. What I want to tell you about is how even though his brothers sold him into slavery, how even though he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, he reframed of who he was supposed to be or who he was called. And this is a paraphrase of what Joseph says. "It wasn't about my brothers selling me into slavery and all the bad that happened to me, but what God wanted me to go through to save nations and people." You see, it was a struggle with Joseph that allowed him to do what God called him to do. Oh my. Which brings me to point number three, and we're going to close with this. Your name is, here it is, child of the Most High God. Your name is child of the Most High God. So important. Psalms 82:6 says that. "I say, you are all children of the Most High." And what does that mean? That if you believe that you are a child of the Most High, here it is, you will live a life inspired. You will live a life victoriously. Why? Because you believe in who he's called you to be in your identity. And even if you're not there yet, it's the fact that you are on your way and who you are becoming. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Because I love this phrase that God gave me. I took the first part from Pastor Wayne and God gave me the rest. And here it is. You can teach what you know, knowledge, and embody what you see, internet and around you, but you will do who you are. You get that? You can teach what you know. You can embody and embrace what you see, but you will do who you are. So the question is, who are you? Who are you becoming? Who are you becoming in Christ? And the answer is your identity. Because here it is. My grandson, you know, he's done well in basketball. We encourage him in basketball. We encourage him to be the best that he can be. But he knows that first and foremost, he is a child of the Most High God. Our granddaughter, Johanna, is 10 years old. She dances for 24/7. And she actually is dancing in the classes and teams that are teens and adults. She's been blessed with a gift that at 10 years old, she's dancing upper levels. But she knows, as much as she does, as great as she dances, Johanna knows that she is first a child of the Most High God. And here's how we're going to close. I want to give this to you. It's something that God just inspired me with. And it's on your notes. And you might look at it and say, oh, John, you misspelled. It's glory to glory. No, it's gory to glory, okay? On purpose. And here it is. Listen carefully. Is this you? Does this resonate with you? It's not what you did, but what you are doing. It's not where you were, but where you're going. It's not who you were, but who you are becoming. It's not where you are, but where God will take you. You see, who you were, what you did, does not define your future. Jesus Christ defines your future. He knows your name. He knows your identity. He knows who he's calling you to be. He knows who you can be. And you know what that is? That is a child of the Most High God. Repeat after me. Child of the Most High God. Yes. And what does that mean? I want to give you a call to action as we close. Something that you can take out the door. What does that mean? What is your call to action? I want you to claim it. I want you, like we said, don't forget the name, because God is saying, I want you to claim your identity and who you are. And here it is. They're going to put it up. Number one, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Some of us have come to church, but you don't know Jesus. Some of you, this is your first time here. Know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Number two, for the majority of us who are believers, are you walking with Jesus? And you might say, oh yeah, I received Jesus. But are you walking with him daily? Are you communing with God? And what does that mean? Two things, it's right there. Prayer. How's your prayer life? How is your prayer life? Do you do a perfunctory prayer in the morning? Oh yes, Lord, I love you. I gotta go. I gotta get to work. Oh, I'm so tired at night. God, I love you. Good night. Or are you walking with God in prayer, where you're dialoguing with God daily? I want to encourage you during the day. Give God your work. Tell him about your work. Tell him about your challenges. Tell him about your battles. Get him involved in your work. And then when he does and you get answered prayer, thank him in prayer. Okay? Number two, are you studying the word? Are you studying the word? Because it's one thing to read the word and another thing to study the word. You might say, yeah, I read the Bible, but you have to study the Bible. What does that mean? When you read the word, that you would meditate on it. Spend some time, take another sip of coffee and meditate. Why? When you meditate on the word and apply it to your life, here's what happens. The Bible will read you. You will get insights. But you have to let the Bible study you. And that's how easy it is. That's how foundational and basic it is, so that it would study you. There's one last thing that I want to leave you with that God gave me. Information is great knowledge. Inspiration is great motivation. Transformation is who you are becoming. But it's incarnation that is your identity of who you are in Christ. Let me say that again. Okay? Information is great knowledge. We can be so smart. And someone can come and give you a great, great teaching and speak. And you go, oh, I'm so motivated. But when you walk out the door, it's motivation. You need transformation when you walk out that door of who you're becoming in Christ. And in that process of transformation of who you're becoming, it really settles in when it's incarnate within you. Incarnation, that is your identity. That's who you are. That is who God made you to be. You claimed your name, and yes, now I know I am a child of the Most High God. Can I hear an amen? Yes, yes. I want you to all bow your head. We talked about labels today, and I know that I want to focus. Holy Spirit is prompting me to focus on labels. Because every service, there's been such a healing for people who have been labeled. People have been told that they're dumb, stupid, fat, ugly, failure in their marriage, failure at work, that they will always be unhealthy and sick because they don't take care of themselves. All the things that the devil would say, that's the label I'm putting on you. That's the label I want you to digest. That's the label I want you to believe of who you are. Wrong, lie, that's the devil. And today, God is going to help us to leave that label right on the floor of the sanctuary. We're going to leave it on the floor of the sanctuary. No one's looking around, all heads bowed. If that's you, and sometime in your life, young or even recently, you were labeled, you were told something that is from the devil, that you have to break and leave on the floor. If that's you right now, I want you to raise your hands. Go ahead. Oh, yes, yes. Oh, my. All over the congregation. Go ahead. Keep those hands up. Yes, everywhere. Yes. You can put your hands down. You see, because those labels will come back to drag you back to the depths of where the devil wants you. Heavenly Father, you saw all the hands that went up that have been dealing with labels like myself, that it comes up in reminders of who we are, and it's all lies. And we leave those lies and those labels on the floor of the sanctuary. We stomp on it in the name of Jesus Christ, and we walk out victorious. We walk out in the name of Jesus in a new identity, no more labeled as ugly, fat, dumb, ill health. We pray and thank you for the healing. We thank you for the answers. And we walk out victorious. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen, amen. Now, we're going to do one more thing. I want you all to bow your head again. Bow your head. I believe that many of you right here now or online, you came here today because God wants to give you a new identity, because you've never had the ability to receive the Lord as your Savior. And He brought you here today to hear this message. Why? Because He knows your name, and He wants you to claim that name, and He wants you to receive Him, and you will have a whole new life, a whole new identity, and it starts right now. Or you may have walked away from the Lord or just got distracted from the Lord, and you want to come home today, and you want to rededicate yourselves to the Lord. Don't let it pass. This is an eternal moment. It's a providential moment. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands in just a moment. And it's just you and God. No one's looking around. It's not complicated. If you want to see the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, I want to ask you to raise your hands right now. Go ahead. Raise your hands. Yes, right here in the front. All these four hands right here in the front. Yes. Others. Yes, they're on the outside on my right. God sees those hands. Others. Come on. Come on. Listen to the Lord as He speaks. Yes, right back there. My left, your right. Right there in that section. And back in the far back, those two hands. Anyone else? I'm going to wait. Right here. God bless you, my little child. Yes, God sees your hands, and He is happy. Other hands. Come on. Anyone else? Great. Online, put it in the chat. I am receiving Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray. You repeat the prayer. You add your hearts victoriously. Dear Lord, thank you for Jesus. Dear Jesus, thank you that you came and died on the cross for my sins, that I might have eternal life. I turn from my sins to you and receive you as Lord and Savior. And I say this so you can hear, so I can hear myself, so those around me can hear, so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord, is my Savior. I belong to you. In Jesus' name. And Heavenly Father, we thank you. The angels are rejoicing in heaven because of all these people that know you in a new identity. They know their name. They are children of the Most High God. So thank you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Go ahead and thank the Lord. Let's all stand.
You have been listening to a message entitled, He Knows My Name, by John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. Thank you for listening. Here at New Hope, we would love to partner with you in raising your children at our brand new preschool, Kulia Christian Academy at New Hope Oahu. Enrollment is now open for keiki ages 2 through 5, and to discover more information, you can visit kuliachristian.org. Now for Pastor John, this is Pastor Donovan Sabog reminding you of the good news that Jesus knows your name. God bless you, and would you always remember that you are loved. Aloha.